Okay. Very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 28th, December 2017. So, also our last Thursday class of the year. So, originally, when I arrived at about 7:50 or so, together with Jin Hao and my wife, so Sui An said nobody replied. So it looks like nobody is coming. So we thought nobody coming, so Sui An suggested we go teh tarik. Then later on, Mi Fong came down, and he wants to know certain thing about what happened early on. So we had a short discussion, that's why we start a bit late. We will have our puja soon, don't worry. But tonight we make it informal, it's the best. The informal, I realized, more people are willing to speak up and ask any question. Then if you don't want it to be recorded, we will off the recorder for you. And I find that all the informal are very interesting. Because a lot of them are very shy. Ayo, they go and record what I say, you know. If I say something stupid, how? So all this comes from your thought. So don't believe your thought. Like Bayang Kathy say, whatever your thought tell you, ask four simple questions. He said, this is the work that will turn you around. And it works for everybody. So the first question you must inquire is, inquire whether what the thought is telling you is the truth or not. Most people will say, yeah, it's the truth. Because like that day, Tuesday class, I give an example. I say, let's say, somebody come and report something to you, maybe regarding your spouse, that he cheat on you, he do all those things. So you hire a private detective, confirm everything with all the evidence. So you sure believe your thought, this guy, I trusted him for so long. He dared to do all these things to me. And you will have a lot of emotion inside, very angry with him. You felt deceived, cheated, and all those things. So all this negative thought process, wrong thought, they will have an effect on you, emotionally, mentally. And it will condition you to act negatively. Because these are evil, root of all evil. Angry thought, jealous thought, emotional thought, unhappy thought. So all this is what suffering is all about. So Bayang-Kathy's approach is the other way around. He said, ask that question. Is the thought telling you the truth? Of course, like I said, because through all this evidence you get, you say it has to be the truth. Okay? Then his second line of question, very simple. Question again. Are you sure that these are the truth? You sure say, have to be the truth, isn't it? Because all the evidence is there. Then the third question is the turnaround. He said, what happened to you when you believe the thought? Yeah? What happened to you? You get very angry, like what you went through, isn't it? You feel cheated, isn't it? Betrayed, isn't it? Then all this thing is done behind you. Then when you confront him, maybe he also get angry and he tell you all. Then he got his own justification and all that. So you become more unhappy, more miserable. So this third question is a turnaround. If you believe that thought, you become miserable. You have a lot of negative thought. You have your fear, your worry, your anxiety. Then maybe your jealousy, your hatred, your betrayal feeling and all these things. So what will happen is, he said, when all this thing is happening, because he is not the Buddha, he is not a Buddhist, he never tell you to be aware. If you are a cultivator of the Buddha Dhamma, you will have this mindfulness, awareness, the sensitivity, and you will not get into this style of problem. Because the negative emotion, negative mind state, the stirring of the mind, the heedless thinking, the arising of all the wrong thought, you will be aware. And you cannot get yourself into this trouble if you are a real cultivator. But Bayang-Kathy's four line of questioning, he called it the work, is to turn around heedless people who don't have the Dhamma. Understand? So the fourth line of question is the turnaround. Without believing this thought, how will you be? Without believing those thoughts, how will you be? Before you have all this suspicion, before you go into all this, you were very loving, very peaceful. You got no problem. So the problem started when you believe that wrong thought. Understand? Then most mundane people will ask this question. Maybe if they attend my class, they will ask me, Brad Teo, but he really did this thing to us, no? How can we not believe the thought? So what is your understanding? Well, the Buddhist approach is very simple. The Buddha says, accept them for what they are. Remember? Selfish people, lustful people, they will do all this. Then they will have a lot of what they call negative tendency, because these are people who don't have sincerity, who breach the trust of marriage. Understand? The marriage contract is based on sincerity leading to trust. If you are sincere in your approach to commit this relationship to a marriage contract, you're supposed to trust each other. Where I'm sincere, you are sincere. We will not cheat on each other. That's why trust. From trust, the relationship will be beautiful. Well, if we trust each other, what will happen? I no need to suspect you, you no need to suspect me. We save a lot of unnecessary time and negative wrong thinking or wrong thought process. And we don't have to have the fear, the worry that our spouse will come to know that we did things behind their back. Then also, you avoid breaking the third precepts. So all this, you will start to understand. Then relationship will flourish if we have this sincerity and trust intact. Then love, compassion, care, admiration, when you can be sensitive to each other's contribution, then you admire each other's contribution. There's another English word, you appreciate whatever the other, your spouse has done for you, or care for you, or their contribution towards the family unit and all those things. So this is the first part. If this one is being breached, don't react and don't stir your mind. Observe it. Find out what is happening. If this is the truth, the reality, means not that your husband or your wife is right, understand? Means this is what they are. That type of mind state, selfishness, lustful, they will do this type of thing. So if you accept them for what they are, you are at peace. Then there is clarity of mind to look at it. If I have this clarity of mind, if my emotion is not stirred, there is no wrong thought, then I can ask myself a very simple question. How can I resolve this amicably? And this is how Dhamma comes in. Resolve it amicably means don't have to get angry. Means I understand there is law of karma in the past. I might have done this to people. Then now I become the victim. Fair enough. Well, this is what you did to people. When you did to people, you never say, how can this guy do all this to me? And now people do to you, you say, how can this guy do all this? That's why you feel very bitter, very unhappy. You feel betrayed, cheated. But karma is, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. This is something from the past that you have to go through. So you do what you have to do. You have to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. You need to repent. You just repent. Then you vow not to repeat all this so that in future your karma will not have this type of condition to make you miserable when you come again. So this is how the Buddhist approach is. Through the Noble Eightfold Path, with right view, you understand, you accept. Then you work towards resolving it amicably, then what are your options? What can you do to move on so that I don't hold on to all this negativity, sorrow, lamentation, wrong thought, the emotion of feeling cheated, betrayed, and all those things? These are negative field, energy field, that will condition your suffering, your misery, where you are attaching to the relationship you have with your spouse. And this is what attachment is all about. This is what craving is all about. Where you want things your way, you get angry, you want to take revenge, and all the negative thought process will stir. That's how Byron Katie came to understand. And he explained it very well, is it? Suffering, he used the same word as what the Buddha actually used in the Third Noble Truth. He said, suffering is optional. Whereas the Buddha says, suffering need not be. Understand not? You have the Dhamma, the right view, the right understanding, you will not suffer. But Byron Katie used the word, suffering is optional. You know what is optional, isn't it? It's an option that you can decide. If you choose to get angry, negative, and react, and believe the thought, you are doomed, is it? You will become miserable. All humanity went through that, is it? But if it's optional, if I don't want to go through that, what I need to do is don't believe the thought. Understand? I don't want to even think about all this thing. I didn't even want to allow it to condition more and more my negative thought. This is what the Buddha meant by things that are unfit for attention. Remember, Sabba Asavat Sutta? Things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. Understand? If you pay attention, the memory, the thought, the anger, the unhappiness, the betrayal, emotion, bitterness, and all those things, they will condition you into very, very negative mind state. So if you don't pay attention, then what must you do? That's like the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Means right thought. Instead of getting angry, accept him for what it is. Have love and compassion. Have right view. He is what he is. He has his karma. In future, he will get into trouble. So if I need to do my part, ask for forgiveness, I ask for forgiveness. I need to repent, I repent. Then I vow not to repeat all this. Then I may even wish him well-being and happiness. And may he understand all this karmic thing. So that he will also wake up and one day change for the better. So instead of anger, hatred, it becomes compassion. You will feel sorry for him because he has stepped into something that is going to create karmic condition in the future where he doesn't know this truth. So through all this, you will know how to apply the right thought, which is the opposite of the negative thought that you have, that most people will arise. So as a cultivator, when you understand, you don't believe the thought anymore. You just say, these are all based on wrong view. When you cannot accept what has been done to you, you tend to get angry, emotional, and you want to take revenge. And all this remorse, bitterness, all starts to stir. This is how craving, through delusion, create attachment, clinging, grasping. You hold on to this type of negative thought, this type of negative emotion and feeling, and it will haunt you until you go into depression. It's like a cocoon of thought non-stop, because there will be deep fear, deep insecurity. You will ask that question, what happened if my husband divorced me? Or what happened if my wife decided to leave me? Then you go and project your thought, no? Oh, your household, who take care? Then if it's the husband working, your housewife, you will have a lot of deep fear. No? How am I going to cope with my survival? Without him, there is no money coming home. Understand? And without him, a lot of things will be different. And you will not be able to handle life. It's going to be very tough. So this projection of thought will create and condition more and more fear, intense insecurity, and the negative tendency will like multiply. And this is something that humanity suffer a lot. And it can be very traumatic, because after that, your immune system go down. Your sorrow, your lamentation, your bitterness, all this will make you very, very angry, very unhappy. And these are negative energy field state that will lower your immune system, make you very sad, very miserable. Then when this emotion, negative tendency arise, it create condition for more of this negative karma from the past to come. We have now got condition to make you miserable already. And you are going to be hit. That's why a lot of people went through suffering and misery. They say it's like a bundle, non-stop one. One after another keep coming on until they wake up. So Bhagavati's sharing is very good. He said, suffering is optional. You don't have to suffer. You only have to accept the reality, then don't have to believe the wrong thought, the negative thought. Then works toward right thought. That's why all religion teach the same. Have love, have compassion. That is what Jesus' teaching is all about. Jesus' love and compassion. This is what the Buddha's advice is all about. Avoid all evil by keeping precepts. Christians also have their commandment. Then do good means have love, have compassion, have virtue, have kindness, have goodness. When you are good to people, kind to people, karma-wise, it will come back to you. Then develop loving-kindness, metta and all those things. Then you will turn around. This is the turnaround. Then tell yourself, life is a lot more than just the cocoon of thought. Like the day Jai Krishnamurti quote. You remember? For you to understand truth, because his title is, What is Truth? What are the first criteria for you to understand truth? What did Jai Krishnamurti say? How many of you read the quote? Nobody read the quote. You must go back and read the quote. He said, first, before you can even ask the question, what is truth? You must have the ability, he said, to see clearly and understand the limitation of your thought, the finiteness and narrowness of your thought. You know what are the meaning or not? I already explained last time that our true mind, spacious awareness, is very, very like the oneness, infinite. It's just the oneness, the true mind. Then suddenly through our senses, we perceive something. Then we introduce the content, which is our view, opinion, and all those things. That's why that night, I think PG tried and got the answer right. I asked the class, do you know how you create thought? You have been born since the day when you came to this world. Then you grew up and you have been using thought all this while. But do you know how you create thought? And what is thought? It's always from memory, our conditioning, our views, our opinion, beliefs. From here, our mind still react and perceive. Then from the spacious awareness, you zoom into what they call a small space. Then you input the content. This is the content of consciousness. So this is the thought consciousness. Thought space. Plus the content of consciousness. So from that tiny space, you introduce your content of consciousness. So what happens is, your whole spacious awareness shrink into just one thought. You understand? When you perceive my voice, your attention is here. That's why your thought is here. When you perceive the art or the drawing, your attention is there. That thought that you create is just that small space. That's why Krishnamurti says, this is what thought is all about. Thought is limited, has its limitation. The finiteness of thought, very, very small. Then it is very narrow. And you dwell yourself in this means you are really deluded. Because if this can have such power to make you so miserable through thinking the wrong thought, this is what the Dhamma is about. Then you are afflicted, suffering arises. But it's just a thought. What is thought? Consciousness is content, come and go, no reality. If you give meaning, you get yourself entangled and become miserable. And life is a lot more than losing yourself in this cocoon of negative thought. There is so much more thing to life, understand? That's why I open up. Don't let all this wrong thought lock you up, create suffering and misery for you. Like Brian Cathy said, suffering is optional. If I don't believe this thought and hold on to this wrong thought, I'm free. Then what do you believe in? You believe in truth, see things as they are. So when you can accept them for what they are, your mind is free. There is no more like right and wrong, good and bad. Well, all this has to do with karma from the past. You reap what you sow. Like the Buddha said, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions behind. So when you understand the causes and conditions, you will know how to come out of it. So the fourth line of questioning will free you. Without believing that thought, what will happen to you? You are free. But you always have this problem. But that is my problem. No? I have to resolve it. No? Like this red hot thing. Let's say this is burning. You touch it or you hold on to it, what happened? It will burn you. True or not? It will torment you. So what is the most logical thing to do? Or wise thing to do? Don't hold, understand? Huh? Don't hold doesn't mean let go. No? Don't hold means you know it's tormenting you, burning you. Why must you allow yourself to be tormented? And this is what that thought is all about now. If you hold on to that thought, it will burn you, it will torment you, it will actually kill you spiritually. So if I don't hold, it's no longer burning me, no longer tormenting me. Just like Bayang Kathy said, if I don't trust that thought, then that thought has no power over me. Understand? It cannot condition you to think further into more and more of this negativity. Because that comes from your self-delusion. You think you exist. You have been cheated, betrayed. And so many things people do, which is very negative towards you. So all center on the atta, the self, the me, and the I. And this is the one that can trigger off suffering, misery, fear, insecurity. So having understood this, like Krishnamurti said, thought is limited. Thought is finite. Thought is just a narrow view. Why can't you free your mind from this? Then develop the silence within to feel, to be aware. When you are silent and just aware, there is peace, there is stillness, there is tranquility, there is love, there is joy. And these are all beautiful mind states. This is what the meditative mind is all about. So when you know how to use the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha, it's the same. You think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, which is love and compassion. That's why you develop the joy within, you silence your mind to experience the stillness, the clarity of mind, the silence, the peacefulness. As long as the mind don't stir, that is the state you will be able to have them. And these are so beautiful. And this positive energy field or vibration, which is love and compassion, will boost your immune system and you will recover. You will have good mind state. All of your sadness, sorrow, and lamentation, they will slowly dissipate and cease to be. And this is something that cultivator must develop and have. And the Dhamma is not what most people think. Most Buddhists think the Dhamma is Four Noble Truths, life is suffering, cause of suffering, attachment, craving, Do you understand what these truths are? Do you know how to apply them? Can you relate them to life? Then the third noble truth, suffering need not be in the word of the Buddha. Because you have the Dhamma, the understanding, the right view, suffering need not be. The enlightenment in the here and now, Nibbana can be realized. So when you silence your mind, cease to create, then the thought process will slow down, slow down, slow down. Like the third way to meditate. It will start to slow down. Then it will return to its original state of stillness. Then when your wisdom develops, when you have the ability to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature of existence, then this mind can go into cessation and realize Nibbana, the enlightenment, which is not difficult. So when you understand, it becomes very easy. And the Buddha said, to do this, you only need to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the fourth noble truth. And Noble Eightfold Path, we have gone through. That's why I said, you have enough teaching. Now you have to work on the cultivation, the understanding part. By now you should be clear. So cultivate them. Starting with right view, the three important right view with regards to law of karma, karma niyama, the law of the mind, citta niyama, and the law of dhamma or truth, dhamma niyama. So these three, inquire, contemplate, reflect until very, very clear. Then from there, link to the other Noble Eightfold Path factor. With right view, with regards to the law of karma, we already went through. You will know why the Buddha says you have to follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, which is Dhammapada verse 183. And in Pali, is the famous saying, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalisa upasampadan sacitta pariyuttapadam etang buddhana sasana. So this one, once you understand that the Buddha's advice come from the law of karma, because if you don't take care of karma, you will become miserable. To take care of karma is to avoid all evil to good. Then the Buddha said you have to purify your mind so that you have the right view, the right understanding, not to be deluded by the phenomenal world, by the wrong thought that condition your suffering and misery, so that you will not cling, you will not hold, you will not attach. When you don't cling, don't hold, and don't attach, what is there to let go? That's why you don't go and foolishly listen to what people tell you, practice letting go. Who has to let go? The person holding, isn't it? And the person hold because he's deluded, yeah? He cannot feel the burning effect. Because mental suffering is not like physical suffering, where you feel how it burns you, torments you. You straight away will know what to do. But mentally, when you are burned and tormented through suffering, mental suffering, well, it doesn't destroy you physically. That's why you don't feel the effect. You don't relate it to true suffering. But to you, you still get angry and blame people for what happened. If my spouse had not done all this, I would not end up like that. You justify through wrong thought again. If that word is not a reality, spouse is also not a reality. I will not be like that. It's also not a reality. Why can't you see all this? Then why are you still gullibly holding on to all this? The if, the if, the me and the I, wife, husband, spouse, children, loved one, all those things, even friend, neighbor, they don't really exist within the ultimate truth. They only exist within the conditioned world, within the mundane Dhamma, and they follow the law of karma. So when you understand all this, your understanding will free you, will liberate you. Then you will know what to do. Then you will come to understand why the Buddha said, only Noble Eightfold Path free, nothing else. So to resolve your problem amicably, then your option to move on with your life and develop the understanding to have the happy life and the good life is to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Means with right view, see the importance of keeping the precept. Means you have to avoid all evil. To avoid all evil, you must have goodness, virtue, kindness. That's why when you have right thought, right speech, right action, and the right way to live your life, you are incapable of negativity. So the absence of wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood will make you good, wholesome. That is very important, no? Don't try to do good. Doing good is good according to you. But when I am incapable of evil, automatically, naturally, I will be good. Yeah, I don't have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. I don't have selfishness. I don't have wrong view. I don't have negativity. So the absence of evil is good. You have to understand that. That's why the Buddha used the word avoid all evil. Not only avoid evil. When you can avoid all evil, you will be good. Because you are incapable of evil. So love and compassion can only arise when there is true understanding of life. Otherwise, there is no love. Otherwise, straight away, it will stir and become anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. And this is not love. Well, love got no opposite. Of course, you can give me example. The Theo in life, where got no hatred or no anger? It's up to you. Well, like Bayan Kati say, this wrong thought, you don't have to believe them. When you believe them, it's because you have delusion. You are clinging on to things that are born of self-delusion, not real, not what you think. That's why you can become emotional. That's why she said, suffering is optional. You don't have to do that. He said, every human being has that choice. If you don't believe the thought, suffering is no more there. Because the fourth line of questioning gives you the answer. Without believing that wrong thought, that thought, what am I? How will I be? You will be beautiful. You can go about with your life. But the problem with human beings is the attachment, the lingering thought that their spouse did that to them. And what is that? Memory. How real can memory be? You know what Krishnamurti say or not? Memory is of the past. Agree or not? Well, you accumulate it. He said, it's as good as the date leaf of, he didn't say yesterday, you know, yesteryear, 1 year ago. Why you go and bring it out and think and become miserable again? That's why when you cannot see the limitation of thought, the finiteness of thought, and the narrowness of thought, you will become deceived, deluded by it. Then when you can see that your true nature, your true mind is spacious awareness, and there is so much possibility with this. Yeah, this will lead to understanding, the direct seeing, the peaceful mind, the calm mind, the stillness, the silence, the awareness, the heedfulness. And this is heedful living. This is beautiful living. No more negativity. You like wake up from your slumber, from your delusion. And Dhamma is just so simple. If you reflect, contemplate, understand, silent, through the meditation, especially this retreat, I tell you. You got 9 days, you don't need 9 days. If you can do it for the first 3 days, you will settle down and you will become very beautiful. After that, you will understand what I tell you. When you go through the silence, the stillness, just through relaxed state of awareness, let whatever thought arise, arise. Don't fight, don't do anything. Like here. Don't fight, don't suppress all these hindrance thought. Don't do anything. Just let it be. When you accept them for what they are, you will become beautiful. Then you will start to understand how all this arises. Like the Buddha said, with mindfulness, with awareness, you become sensitive. So all these negative thoughts, negative emotions, stirring of the mind, cannot happen because you are so aware. You have reached a state where your mind is always in stillness and silent, heedful most of the time. The slightest movement away from it to stir or to react, to create, and all this suffering, you can feel it at your heart area. And this is the real meditation. Not to experience the peace, the calmness, and all those things, then thinking that all this special mind state is a sign of progress. As long as it don't give rise to wisdom, it is just a conditioned mind, a conditioned state. If you go to a quiet place with the setting, very nice setting, like retreat area, or say everybody keep the precept. Huh? You don't even have to cook, the food are already served. Then you just do your thing in the name of meditation. Of course you will be peaceful. Your environment is so conducive. But peace is not the ultimate aim of meditation. It's a byproduct of good meditation, yes. But we don't meditate to like seek peace. That is the byproduct of understanding meditation. When your meditation develops, peace will come by naturally. But you cannot attach, you cannot cling, because it's just a conditioned state. So when the condition ceases to be, your peace will be gone. Then you go back to your daily life, you become heedless again. That's why that is not the way to meditate. The way to meditate is when you are at a retreat or in a meditation place, you determine to be heedful. That is what the Buddha's advice is all about. Strive on to be heedful. Strive on with heedfulness. So you just train your mind to be aware, then develop the stability of mindfulness to be ever mindful. Then every moment, every action, the four posture, including the daily mindfulness, develop it until very, very stable. Then be heedful. That is what meditation is all about. Then you can be heedful in the midst of life. You will progress very fast. You become very different. Otherwise, you wasted your time experiencing all this beautiful mind state. But if you can be in a retreat, experience all the things that I explained just now, then you inquire and reflect into what Bhayankati say and the Buddha's teaching, you will wake up to this delusion. You will never trust the thought anymore. That is our wrong thought. Lack of right view. When you have right view, you can come to terms with the reality. That's why Bhayankati also came to know you cannot argue with nature. Means truth is. Truth is means the reality. Even Jay Krishnamurti also he knew. You cannot argue with what is. Means the truth, the reality. What is the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. You cannot question why God is so unfair. No such question. Such question come from deluded being. Why is the world like that? Why am I like that? If you cannot understand, this question will arise. This comes from the thought which is limited, finite and narrow. That's why thought divides. Thought doesn't have the ability to insight into phenomena, to understand what is going on within the form of mind. That's why even the Western philosophy, Socrates, Plato, even Aristotle there, they emphasize on self-knowledge to free the mind. The first teaching from Socrates to Plato is, he said, because we don't know ourselves, we get into trouble. He said, we have this emotion, which is very, very strong, very powerful. So in the time of the, I think, you call it the Roman Empire or what, I don't know. During that time, I think, the Spartan, there's a city called Athens, I think, Greece, or don't know what. At that time, they were warrior. They have very, very good horses that help them to win the war. So he gave this example. He said, when your emotions stir, it's like 10 or 12, a dozen of this type of horse, dragging you along and pulling you along. You got no way of stopping it. They give this example. And his answer was very simple. He told Plato, then Plato later on wrote the scroll and spread his teaching. He said, the only way to free from that pull is to know thyself. At that time, they used that word. And he said, the educated mind is the mind. Or the wise mind is the mind that understands that you know nothing. When you know nothing, you are very wise. Well, all the knowledge that you have come from thought. That's the reason why Socrates also teach you to examine, investigate, and observe. Don't believe what the clergy tell you, the priest tell you. Don't believe anything. But because of that, he was thrown into jail. and he has to die. You can listen to Tuesday class, they are all there, very beautiful. So this is the part maybe before the puja, because it's an informal session. I share this video first so that it will help. I think many of you, and this is the year-end message. Hopefully, next week, you can apply them. And I saw Brother Chia from Singapore. He got a clock. They wipe off all your 12 negative emotions, all your remorse and all those negatives. Then you start with love and all those things for the year 2020. That's what cultivation is all about. Avoid all evil means root them all out, then cultivate using the second right effort, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. The 12 he lists there, not enough. A lot of things missing, but at least it's a good start. Because there are a lot of good virtue, like sincerity. I like that saying by Plato. You know what he said or not? Was it Plato? Oh, it's called Socrates. I think it's Plato. He said, true love start with what? True love start with what? Admiration. When you can admire, means you can appreciate the good things that people have done for you. When you are appreciative of life, appreciative of relationship, then there is love. If you don't appreciate, take things for granted, there is no love. The relationship suffer. But when you are appreciative, when you have a few of these kind words, thank you so much, darling, for helping in all this, for helping us to keep the house clean, cook for us, wash for us, look after the family for us. I really, really appreciate and I rejoice. Thank you so much. You say this to your spouse, especially your wife, I tell you, they will have so much joy which money cannot buy. But the human being's problem is, we take all this for granted. We go back. Why dinner not ready? Why everything cold on? What you do whole day? I tell you, the wife not only will feel miserable, he will start to create negative thought out there. This fellow never appreciate how much I have done. Someone say all these things to me. So these are hurtful words, wrong speech. And it can condition people without Dhamma to also become miserable and unhappy. You can make people happy. Why must you make people miserable? And law of karma says you reap what you sow. In future, you will have spouse or husband that do that back to you. Do you want it? If you don't want, you better learn to speak well, gently, politely, kindly, with love, appreciative. Learn to admire people, to appreciate what they have done for you, the sacrifice, the contribution, and all those things. And this is love. This is virtue. So these are the things that we can develop through the Dhamma understanding. Then the most important is to break through thought, because thought cannot free you. Like the Buddha said, our Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind, timeless. So you use thought as an instrument, you will get wrong. And that this Krishnamurti quote, you know what Krishnamurti said in his definition of what is philosophy? Philosophy means what? What is that field? It's for people who? Maybe most of them are science students. How many are your art students? No art student. All science students. No wonder you don't know philosophy. He said philosophy is a field where people who love truth study. He said philosophy is the lover of truth. But he qualified, Jai Krishnamurti said, not lover of thought. That's why he said all those that use thought as knowledge, reject them, where they are not true philosophers. Where philosophy comes from the word lover of truth. all wisdom. So if you are a real philosopher, you examine, you don't believe anything. There's no authority. That's why he says, so there's no authority. And he quotes Socrates, Plato, and the Buddha. But even when he comes to Christianity, pardon me for saying others, I quote him, I didn't say. He said that Christianity didn't go into this aspect deep enough to develop the understanding. That's why they play with words and symbols, he said. And they make a, how to pronounce that word? Parody. P-A-R-O-D-Y. Parody of suffering and the rest. You know what is the meaning of that word? Parody, you know? Make fun. Because you often hear this, I think, in the early days. They will come with this type of catchword. He said, you choose religion, you better learn how to choose the right one. He said, choose the religion that talk about love. Don't go and choose the religion that talk about suffering and misery. And they even quote to you, what do you get from Buddhism? They are so pessimistic. Everything is suffering, misery. There is no love in their religion. Because they didn't go in deep enough. They just want to condition the listener into accepting what they have. And they tell you our religion is a religion of love and compassion. Jesus' love, Jesus' compassion. Yeah. Then they will really treat you very well when you are there. They are really very warm with you. But the moment you don't become a believer, it can be a 360-degree turn. Total reverse. I remember in the first year uni, that time I came, I was in first college, so I got college. But there were some who couldn't get into college, the second batch one, the later call of one. So they couldn't find place. So there were some classmates who advised that you go to that, I don't know, somewhere in New Town there. Was it a church or what? Where a lot of Christian members there. He said, you go there. If you can go in, it's very good. Your everything is there. So this guy went. But he didn't know it was a Christian place. First thing they asked him, what religion are you? Buddhist. Wow, the attitude all different. Then he was told to go and get other place. He said, we don't have place for you. So there were a lot of such things during that time. But what is important is what Jay Krishnamurti and these great beings are trying to advise us is develop self-knowledge. Be an island to yourself means develop the right understanding, the clarity to observe, to investigate, to examine, not to believe blindly. Then when you understand, your mind liberate and free. Okay? So with that, we can start our puja. Sahadu, sahadu, sahadu. What's the time now? Oh, 9:10 now. So no need meditation, we start puja. Come. So this is an informal one. So good year-end gathering. Come. Who you want to choose to light the candle and the incense? The honor given to who? Vivian, yeah. Lily also. Okay, good. The two ladies. Yeah. Oh, Lily is long time. Yeah. Come, Vivian. Thank you so much. Help to light the incense and the candle. Yeah. Okay, let's form a line. Then we will make the offering. Take your time, don't worry. The puja will last for a while. A few minutes at least. Take your time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Never mind, you can go, don't worry. Oh, okay. After that, you go. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Eh? Then we can start our puja. Let us compose our mind. Develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence our puja.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namasāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi.
Okay, we can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book.
Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhyatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhyatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhyatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinādānā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mūsāvādā vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya macchāpama dathāna vairamani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now your chanda padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarappa titena dipena tamadang sida tiloka dipang sambuddhang bujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena lopena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno pethang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusuminanena punnena mattena cha hotu mokang puppang milayati yatta idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang. Now we are chanda puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened. Balas, all powers, sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, except to, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and call him Bodhisattva. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, then maybe we skip meditation, huh? Then we just do the invocation to the devas. Huh? In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Then we will chant the Pali together. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunanto Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akkaliko Ehipasiko Upanayiko Pachyatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu, Sadhu, Paja. Bedam puja me. Dhamma puja me. Sanghang puja me. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have our informal sharing, huh? So you can ask me anything. let's make it into something different, huh? Informal, easier. Is there another mic for them to ask questions or say anything? Oh, okay. Never mind. Later on, we go and buy another one. the wireless one can get another. The good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I had to replace the whole set. They can't just buy that wireless one. Oh, yeah. Never mind. So, yeah. Come forward here. Then use the same mic, like that day. Okay. We open it up, huh? don't know what to ask is the best. means attentively listening. When you attentively listen, you got not much question on initially. Then after that, yes, you try to reflect, contemplate. Then you try to develop the understanding. And then suddenly the question will come because you want to know how to cultivate it, to put it into practice. And then the question will come. Then you will go into more detail. Because otherwise, the first aspect is you must know what that Dhamma is. Since the Dhamma also, because she is quite new, she needs some time to absorb it. Then when you first listen to it attentively, you may get some form of idea of what this thing is. Then as you listen more, then you will understand more. Then you will have a deeper meaning of what that thing is. And then when you ask yourself that question, so how can I cultivate it? How can I develop this understanding? And then the question will come. Because you try and you find it so difficult. Take for example the question on the whiteboard. Now I think we apply the same question to your class. Tuesday class I asked before. What is thought? And how do you create thought? What is thought? And how do you create thought? You have lived life for so many years. You have been creating thought for so long. Do you know how thought come about or not? And what really is thought? Do you think there is a thinker behind the thought? The logical people will tell you, isn't it? Definitely, no thinker, where got thought? Vivian, agree? No thinker. Yeah, you heard memory, but how you explain it? That is more important because you know from memory, thought come out. Without memory, no thought, isn't it? So the baby born, no memory. That's why no thought. They got no concept of words also. Color, words, whatever they come to perceive, it's just that thing, the pure perception. Without any conditioning from the brain. But this brain got no memory or anything. They didn't even learn words. That's why they don't even recognize voice, sound. That's why the baby are very naive, very cute. Everything is to them very beautiful. Yeah. You don't put in fearful vibration and sound. They're not scared one. Burning hot also, they're very cute. They go around and to touch it. But once they are burned, even cold, they also won't go near. You can experiment with that. When you observe them, babies are very cute, very innocent. So this is what observation is all about. When you observe them, means you don't have a preconceived idea of what this boy is. If you preconceive this boy as naughty, or what and what and what, you are not observing already. You have created prejudice to your own conditioning, where you think this boy is very naughty. He is going to do all these things. You through memory recall what he has done. But if you really observe a person or the boy without having any preconceived idea, then your whole attention is on the boy. Then you will see many things that the thought never see. But the thought always recall to memory of what people tell you about the boy. Or what your own thought tell you about this boy. But because you never silence your mind to observe, you cannot understand the boy. But when you silence your mind to observe, without any verbal chattering or comment or reaction, you start to see the boy for what he is. His real condition means being a baby, they will have this behavior, very cute and all those things. Then as you observe, you understand they got set certain talent that come from their past karma. Then they got certain way of behavior. Like my mother, where you got 9 children. When I asked her, how was I like when I was young? She said, you are the easiest to raise. I never give her any problem. She said, I hardly cry. I never cry. And I very quiet. And I very observant. I said, the eye like to perceive things. But there's no memory. And until 6 years old, my mind was pure. I got nothing inside there. But I can't remember anything. I only remember a few very cute incidents. One of them was the photo that my father took when I was, I think, less than 2 years old. I was sitting on the trash, the three wheel type, the small trash in the, I think must be in the Photoshop. Then I saw my face that time. It was so innocent, so cute. That because I went through that free mind state, that's how I know there is a free mind. Then very natural, very cute. Then my mother told me certain things. Then my grandmother say it differently. He saw me so quiet. You know what my grandmother told me? He said, I thought you dumb. Alo in Hakka. He thought I am dumb. I never speak any word until 5-6 years old. So my grandmother was really, really very cute. She tried to talk to me. I seldom say any word until I reached the age of 5 or 6. Then after that, when I went to school, then later on when I got a lot of classmates and friends come and visit me, then my grandmother start to talk to me. Say, oh, I thought you this type of attitude, no friend. Here you don't talk. Then when he saw all the friends come during school holiday, in bicycle, some walk and all that, then we had a good time. So she was so happy for me. And she said, at first I thought you dumb. Second, I thought you, this character, you go to school, you got no friend. So that was how my grandmother observed me. But my mother was different. My mother, all the 9 babies, he know their character. And their birthday, all she know. Because my mother got good elephant memory. And she very observant. Then she learned one thing, he said, in Hakka, Tian Sang, Tian Yong. You know Hakka, you will know. He said, the birth of the child come from, he said, the heavens, Tian, sky, or heaven. To them means the heaven. So he said, heaven give birth. Heaven will have us to raise. Don't worry. He said. They want to cry? Let them cry. As long as you feed them. Then if they don't wet themselves, let them cry. Not a problem. Well, Suyan found it. Oh, got a second set. Oh, okay. Sadhu. So now easy. So this one tie in with that one. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, very good. Okay. So, coming back to the question, what is thought and how do you create thought? Anybody want to try? It would be good if you can try. Like that day, I think PG, he got it right. It means he was very attentive. He really reflect on it. Then he can recall how it happened. Then for Vivian, so new, not bad. She heard the word memory, from memory it come. So that was a very good hint. So how did the thought come out? You are the greatest magician in the world. No? The Buddha said, consciousness is like a magician. No? You open your eye, you create the whole phenomenal world in front of you. The field of vision. You become conscious of what you see. So all this within your field of vision is your creation. No? Do you know that? Can you understand? You know how great a magician you are. Open your eye on it. All this scenery, vision, all rise. Close the eye, gone. How real are they? Of course you tell me, Matthew, very solid. Oh, all these are very solid. Why you say not real? I say not real because I will ask you a question. How do you know that this is solid? How do you know that this is a chair? How do you know this is a building, a wall? How do you know them? True one. Louder, louder. I have to pass the mic over. Maybe need Sui An. Yeah, that's why we need him. You on and see whether it works or not. Battery, I think. Oh, got battery. Huh? Testing, testing. Volume, volume. Is the volume on? You have to chuan. Sui An will do. Yeah. The volume, I think. Ah, okay. Ah, yes. Just now, who was it? The answer? Ching Yao. Yeah, let Ching Yao try. Yeah, but mainly through your senses, isn't it? Yeah? So we have to always remember as a human being, I draw again. So hopefully this time it will go in deep. You see, as a human being, what do we have? We have a physical body there. Yeah? Then there is a consciousness trapped inside. Consciousness trapped inside. We need to put some paper behind, so yeah. I think the angpao paper came off a lot. So this consciousness trapped inside, then we have a physical body. Physical body. So this is what we call the physical form, physical body or form. Then this is what we call mind. Or consciousness trapped inside. So within your physical body, you have your senses. So there is this five physical senses. Together with the mind. So this mind though is the consciousness. And this is the common denominator. For consciousness to arise, the mind must make contact with the senses. Yeah. Then mind itself can also make contact. So because of the five physical senses, our eye, our ear, nose, tongue, bodily tactile, and the thinking mind, or the mundane mind, we have this six type of senses that enable us to be conscious of life. Then how do you know the world? Like I asked you, how do you know it's a wall? You have to perceive it, isn't it? Through your senses. Either through your seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness or smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness through memory. Through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system and all those things. But this is the bundle of memory that you accumulate. All of your experiences, good or bad, of the past. Then your religious belief system, religious labor, your views, your opinion, your tradition. Everything that you gain through knowledge, they are accumulated as knowledge in your brain. Yeah. So, how do we know the world? It's through our senses. We have this ability to be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. Without these senses, you don't exist. And what the Buddha wants you to understand is, this body and mind that can arise these senses, this type of mental consciousness, you have to develop the understanding that they are not you, they are not real. They are just karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world. Then there is another aspect of mind, which is your true mind or your nature, where you can only detect when your mundane mind, yeah, or your conscious mind sees. So this mind is the mundane mind. Mundane thinking mind. Huh? Mundane thinking mind. Okay. So, as long as your mundane mind is there, you can never be aware of your true mind. You can never know that there is another aspect of mind within your nature. So the Buddha wants you to understand that the mundane mind or the thinking mind and the physical body, they have their condition of arising. They are not real. They are not what you think. Yeah. So this is how you know the world. Yeah. Then how you interact with the world is the same there. You need to use your, what do you use? It's still your senses, isn't it? But you need to translate it out. Means you have a mouth, you must know how to speak. Then you have your body, you must know how to act. Then you must know how to arise your thought process. So action, speech and thought, these are the three major doors where you can interact with the world. So first is, how do you know the world? You know the world through your senses, sense door consciousness. Then after that, how do you interact with the world? Through your action, speech and thought process. Yeah. So having known this, you have to ask yourself, how does all this consciousness come about? Like seeing. When I say I see, what does it mean? Who see? What see? You have to go into all this. And this is real meditation. No? You say you meditate and you cannot understand all this. You are not meditating at all. And most of us never study this even in school. We got study biology, anatomy, every part we can go into detail, but we never study how we know the world, how we interact with the world, and who are we, what are we. We never study all this. We are so conditioned by what we are told. This is me, this is I. We are, the moment you are born, they give you a birth certificate. They have to identify you through a name, then birth certificate number. Then when you reach the age of 6 to go to school, they give you an identity card. You have to go and make IC. Then later on, you want to travel overseas, you have to apply for a passport. Again, got number. They identify you further. Then in your birth cert, they say your parents are who? What is your professed religious belief or labor? and all those things. And these are the conditioning, that's why you are so conditioned into believing that this is you. Yeah. Then we always say, I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I feel, I think. This is a delusion. There is nobody behind. But how can you reconcile the truth against conventional knowledge? Conventional knowledge is everything is me, I, you. Everyone is like real. There is entity. But the difficult part about the Dhamma is there are two aspects to life. One is the mundane aspect of life. The other one is the supramundane. So if you develop only mundane understanding or wisdom, you cannot live the full life. What you need is the supramundane Dhamma, or we call it the spiritual aspect of life. The materialistic aspect is the mundane aspect of life. The supramundane is the spiritual aspect. So when you go through life, most of us, we start with the mundane aspect of living life. So mundane is the materialistic world, our conditioned world, where we use thought, where we use our senses to know the world, to interact with the world, to arise thought. So the question is, what is thought? We start simple, huh? What is thought first? What is thought? You have gone through that, huh? But how many of you have seen it in the meditation, with awareness, with mindfulness? How thought arises? Anybody want to try? Huh? No, no. Thought is not image. Image is what you perceive. The mental image are what you perceive at the mind level. When you make contact, consciousness arise, then these mental images, they arise. Then sometimes the mental state, the mental emotion. Then there is another word for it. It's part of sankhara. Mental state, mental images. There's another one. There's a word for it. You are back. Sadhu. Oh, she'll be back for how long? Sadhu. Don't worry. It's a nice, what they call, the right timing to come in. I was asking them a very simple question. What is a thought and how do you create thought? I thought she would say, I will explain to you. Because students are more active and more clear with their mind. Sometimes you will be surprised at these young people. They can explain to you very beautiful things. Don't worry, you can do your thing. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Okay, who wants to try? What is thought? How does thought come about? You know it's through your senses there. So the first thing you have to recall is what? What did the Buddha talk in the teaching first? When I say, I see, what does he mean? Is there such a thing as I see? You don't say no because the Buddhist teaching says so. Anatta, not self. You have to really use your understanding and awareness to reflect and contemplate what actually happened when you go about living your life. How to pass the mic to? Yeah, it's a process, correct. But we have to go deeper into it a bit, because this process of seeing, which is the conscious part, the Buddha did mention, in the seeing is only one. Yeah, Mi Fong, pass the mic to Mi Fong. You slowly try, then you will learn very fast. Then in the meditation, you can see it better. Because if I don't give you this hint and pointer, it's very difficult for you all to find out. Because most of you meditate, you just want to develop the calmness, the anapanasati, or the whatever meditation you do. But you forgot what meditation is. Because meditation is to be aware. Aware of many things, the four foundations and all those things. And when you have the four foundation or awareness or mindfulness developed, you will understand all this. You will know how to answer what I question you. Yeah, Mifo. In the seeing. Can, yeah.
For example, let's say I am looking. The shape.
Yeah, the external object.
Through the eye.
Then there's contact. Yeah, the contact. The mind maintain contact means attention. They call it manasikara, means there is this attention. Or they call it the mind is there to be attentive. Although it's not the real attentiveness, like when you are mindful without thought, means you are very attentive. But this one is, you just want to arise the contact so that you can be conscious of what that seeing consciousness is all about. There, your description, that one come later, because the perception of it, what shape, what form, all that. But what is important is at the moment when that consciousness arises, what did the Buddha say? In the seeing, this one is the first thing you have to develop the understanding in your meditation. You have to really see it this way. When you lie down to meditate, or when you are in the sitting posture, when your mind is silent, you can see them arising. And at the moment arising, before this memory, everything come in and describe to you, and tell you through your conditioning. Sometimes you just stir and react, become emotional or affected. Sometimes fear arise. It's because you are not trained. You don't have mindfulness. You don't have attentiveness. And you don't have right view. That's why your mind can straight away react and stir because of your views, opinion, and your conditioning. So the Buddha wants you to understand is, like the physics experiment that I have shown you all. Yeah. So let's say this is the light bulb, then this is the switch. So this light bulb, this is the battery, positive, negative. So this switch, when you make contact, if the battery has power, then this light bulb will light up in there. So the lighting up of the light bulb is like you become conscious. So this is like your organ, your eye. Then when the mind makes contact, you become conscious of what you see, the lighting up. At the moment of seeing, the first thing is the pure perception, like a baby. Understand? Where the memory got nothing. The memory doesn't come in yet. So this is the stage you have to see in meditation. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. You don't have to believe the Buddha. You have to investigate. That's why he said, don't believe anything. Find out for yourself, like the philosopher. In the seeing, there is only the... The seeing consciousness. So it's just a consciousness. That's why at that moment, there is no one to see. It's just like the physics experiment, nature's law. You understand? No need God to create seeing. There is no soul inside there to be responsible for seeing, the Buddha said. That's why when the organ doesn't work, there is no seeing consciousness. The human being or the living being cannot see, even though the consciousness, the mind is there. So seeing is a process, like Mifeng mentioned. And that process depends on certain condition for it to arise. Without this condition, they cannot arise. So what are the conditions for seeing, like we went through last time? Your eye, physical eye alone, doesn't see. You can understand that, isn't it? When the dead person, you open the eye, he cannot see there. Sometimes people sleep with their eye open, they cannot see there. So your eye alone cannot see. Then when they wake up, when they are conscious, they can see. So which means the mind must be there. But the Buddha said, mind alone also cannot see. And the best example is a blind man. If he is blind, he has consciousness there, he has mind there. But he cannot see, because there is no organ. So what is seeing? Seeing is a process where all the three conditions must be there. Means seeing consciousness is dependent originating, condition arising. No condition, nothing happened. So what are the conditions for you to see? You must have a physical eye that is in working order. Then you must have a mind that is capable of consciousness. Then you must have contact of mind at that organ. Means you must pay attention to the seeing consciousness. And then that seeing consciousness appears. So it's just like this light bulb. Oh God, no sound. Light up. Yeah? It becomes conscious. It light up. So at that moment of seeing, when you have mindfulness, very stable, you can see that. No movement, nothing. That's why I used to tell you, you can be at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, at the moment of activity of mind, whether whatever mind state or sankhara, you can stay there. Oh God, no sound. Huh? Your awareness, your mindfulness can be there. If you don't have that stability of mindfulness, you cannot see all this, you cannot understand. And this is the real meditation. So, after you have understood this, you have to try to find out whether this is the truth or not. This is what investigation is all about. Dhamma vichaya. I don't have to believe what the Buddha tell me or what Brother Teo say. I can investigate, and if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. I can see very clearly. Then I realize, yeah, if in the moment of seeing is only the seeing conscious, then no one to see, then why am I deluded by it? Deceived by it. Why am I so deluded with this self-delusion to every time associate with the seeing, thinking that I see? When you say I see, you never ask the question, who is that I, the capital I? Yeah? Like what we went through last time. When we say I see, we never ask this question, who is this I? So like we went through last time, you know, without I, you cannot see. So by logic, you say, my I see. Logical or not, Vivian? My I see, without I cannot see. Then I give you the example, the dead man with the eye open cannot see. When you are asleep, you open your eye, you also cannot see. Oh yeah, no mind cannot see. So you say, my mind see. So you think logical. Again, you believe it's the truth. That's why the philosopher know. Philosopher who is a lover of thought will go wrong. Your thought is knowledge, memory, limited, finite and narrow. It cannot understand what is beyond. Because the Dhamma we are trying to realize is beyond thought, beyond the mundane mind, beyond the thinking mind. Well, when you think, psychological time starts. That's why it's called the timeless. So this is a very important understanding. Then if the I alone don't see, mind alone don't see, then how does seeing consciousness come about? That's why the Buddha said they are dependent originating. Get this planted inside your mind with the understanding. Then meditate to find out whether it's really what the Buddha say or not, dependent originating or condition arising. Without condition, nothing happens. So I must have an eye that is functioning. I must have a consciousness. Then I must put attention there. Then this consciousness must be supported by the life force. They call it the karmic force that sustains this life. These three conditions there, then there is a possibility of consciousness arising. Otherwise, the so-called human being or living being cannot function. Yeah. If the consciousness leaves, also they call die. The life force doesn't come, the heart doesn't pump, the consciousness also have to leave because it will lead to organ failure, brain death. Then if there's accident, any part of your vital organ wipe off or damage, even brain, then your function that is connected to all those parts of the brain or the organ will also not function. That's why people develop paralysis, mental issue and all those things, through stroke and all those things. Then sometimes when the organ has been completely damaged, vital organ like the heart, the liver, all those things, that's why you will die. Consciousness cannot stay there because you will not function anymore. So this is what the human being is all about, dependent originating, condition arising. Consciousness also same, feeling also same, perception also same. Sankara, mental activity, also same. So when you start to silence your mind and just feel, then you start to understand through consciousness, through awareness and mindfulness, then you understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human. And this is the real meditation. And how many people go into that? Yeah, I cannot teach this until somebody has gone into it and asked this question. But today, I don't know what is the condition. Maybe this teaching want to come out. That's why I share today. So, these two parts. First, go into the meditation and find out what the Buddha say in the seeing consciousness. In the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. Then next time, in the midst of life, daily life, you silence your mind, develop daily mindfulness, stabilize it. Then the hearing, check. At the moment of hearing, is it just the hearing consciousness? It's just the conscious mind before the input of content or consciousness from your brain, from your memory. And then you understand how you function as a human being, how thought arises. So with this, now you should be able to tell me what is thought and how thought arises. What is thought? Just like I told you there. The consciousness that arises through seeing consciousness, because your attention is at your organ of the eye seeing. That's why the spacious awareness that you have of the thing first. You see this word in red, I purposely put in red, spacious awareness. Our true mind, before your thought arises, like the baby, is just spacious awareness. Then this awareness can make you aware of things. That's why the pure perception is very near the awareness. Seeing things as they are, before the thought comes in, before the perception comes in, before the views and opinion is inputted into that consciousness. So initially it's the pure consciousness, but it already shrinks from the spacious awareness to the thing that you see. You understand? The whole spacious awareness shrinks into a seeing consciousness, where your attention is on this consciousness. So when it shrinks, that time, it's still a pure perception, like baby, before the words come out, before the concept, before your views and opinion and your emotions stir, either through fear or worry, anxiety or insecurity, or you become angry. Because of wrong view, you react and you stir very fast. Especially when you hear somebody scolding you, put word into your mouth and make you very unhappy. Then through memory you recall that guy last time cheated you, deceived you, harmed you, or caused a lot of problem to you. So the moment you, through the seeing consciousness, you are not aware, you are not mindful, you are not sensitive, you don't know what is going on, straight away the memory trigger off. Then you input the content. Then you react and stir, because that was your memory of who he is. So the preconceived idea, your fear, your phobia that you retain in your memory, these are the ones that condition you to have fear, worry, anxiety. Then it reminds you of the unhappy moment, sorrow, lamentation. These are all this cocoon your thought straight away. And you can feel that emotion straight away. But when you are aware, when you have developed the mindfulness, the meditation, you become totally different. You see things as they are. That moment, that reality. The memory cannot come in and interfere. You want to know, you can recall, yeah, this guy last night. But now you're observing him as he is. No memory, no perception coming in to interfere. That's why the art of listening, the art of seeing. You just see them as they are, observe them, the movement, all those things. Then listen attentively. Then you will know whether they are still the same old one or they have changed. Then they come with what intention. You are very sensitive. You can feel. Your nature can feel. Your nature can know. And this is what the enlightened being is all about. This is what the transformed being is all about. When they have this mindfulness, this ability to be heedful, to be aware, they are totally different. The fear, worry, anxiety, the conditioning, all cannot come in and interfere. Then they will just be attentive. They don't panic, nothing, because they know this is not them. It's just form and mind, form and mind. They are not what you think they are. Likewise, this one is not you. Very clear, all this. Not until you have this type of wisdom and understanding and heedfulness and mindfulness, you cannot deal with life. All those meditation, they ask you to not cut a feeling, do all these funny things, are thought-based, knowledge-based. And very difficult to wake up, to develop the wisdom to free. Because if your mind cannot be heedful and aware to insight into the characteristic of nature and really wake up and understand what this is, there is no way you can understand. It's all knowledge. So even this seeing consciousness, to understand what the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. You cannot silence your mind. You can never understand this. It's only knowledge. But when you can silence your mind, heedful in the midst of life, all this you understand. Yeah. Then coming back to thought. At the moment of seeing is only the consciousness. So the pure consciousness without its content is the pure awareness. Do you understand? Where the content hasn't went in there. So without the content is the pure awareness. So without this, without this, it is just the pure awareness. Or the pure perception. Not enough space, huh? Never mind. No. I say here not enough space. I have to write the word perception. I think short form, huh? Perception. Better write the whole thing. Others, you all may not understand. Perception. Okay. Pure perception. Oh, this D, huh? Okay. So without the content, before you input the content, without this, it's just the pure awareness or the pure perception. When you perceive something without the words, without the concept, without the image, it's just seeing things as they are. Do you understand? So this is seeing things as they are. So this part is seeing things as they are. they are. So this is also called the direct seeing. So if you are fully aware and mindful, that's why I share your specific phenomenal awareness. You're just aware, and you're just sitting as they are. Then it will insight, it will awaken by itself. No thought involved. This is what they call the direct seeing. And this one you can also call it the direct seeing. Means your brain, your memory, your conditioning, everything hasn't come in yet. It doesn't come in to interfere or intervene. It's just aware, pure awareness, specific phenomenal awareness. Then when it's completely silent, it's spacious awareness without a center. Means the mind doesn't dwell anywhere. Even specific phenomenal awareness is just aware, it doesn't dwell. That's what the enlightened mind is all about. It's so different. Whereas the human being dwells everywhere, do you know that? Every moment of consciousness you dwell. For how long, I don't know. That's why the ability to have space between thought is the beginning of understanding. When you have space between thought, your consciousness, your mundane mind is less clouded with the images, with the thought, with the aggregates of mind. And there is only space when the mind stops thinking. There's a space between thought, means when this thought arises, before the next thought arises, there is a space, a silence. And this is the true mind. Human beings who are heedless, they think a lot. They got no space at all. It's just like your house or your garden. If you load in all the rubbish inside there, how can you move? You cannot move in there. Everywhere is obstruction. Everywhere also you cannot move in there. And what are the things that actually prevent you from moving? Your rites and ritual, your views, your religious belief, your pantang. Where you say, dark place cannot go, no, God goes. This one cannot step, no, sway, no. So all these are inside your memory, you know, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. Then, this one, non-Buddhist one, no, you cannot touch, no. Oh, I'm vegetarian, no, this one I cannot eat, no. I eat already, how? All these are the delusion created by thought, your fear, your rites and ritual, your belief system. These are the ones that prevent you from moving. And these are the rubbish you hold in your memory and your brain and your thought process. That's why the healer think a lot, worry a lot. The mental hindrances are very active. Whereas the trained mind, I don't call it the enlightened mind, but the trained mind is without the hindrance. But they have the spiritual faculty. When you have the spiritual faculty, it means you have the faith, sadha, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. There is no doubt, there is no fear. You are very composed, very calm. Then there is virya, you are not sleepy. You have attentiveness, alertness. Then there is ti, all the time, awareness is with you. You are very sensitive, very mindful. Then this one, when it's stabilized, until your daily mindfulness is very stable, then you have what they call samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. It's at the moment of sense experience, it doesn't waver, it's collected, it's just there, just aware. It doesn't flutter anymore, doesn't stir, doesn't react anymore. And when wisdom is there, wisdom is the one that prevents you from stirring, reacting, creating all the sankhara, where you become very sensitive, and your understanding free you. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. What you need is to act according to wisdom, understanding. That is true action. That's why you must act with understanding, not with your memory. Memory is full of your fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, belief system, tradition, rites and ritual, everything. These are the ones that prevent you from acting. Because these are your negative tendency, your fear, your knowledge. That's why knowledge bind. When you think you know, you fail to learn. Because all of the knowing is knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom, not understanding. So this brain cannot act because it has fear, it has phobia, it has insecurity. It has its conditioning. So every time you act according to memory, you are acting according to your fear, your insecurity, your doubt, your unhappiness, your unhappy mind, your emotion. All these are stored in your memory. Your scars of memory, you remember? So how can you act with this brain? That's why you don't use this one. You act according to wisdom, means understanding, Noble Eightfold Path, right view, what is happening. Then the clarity. Then when this mind, through mindfulness, understand the delusion, self-delusion, the limitation of thought and all those things, and how thought create limitation, the narrowness. Yeah. Then, like the Buddha says, Sankhara Anicchang is impermanent. All of mental state. All of the Sankhara. Then Sankhara leads to suffering, dukkha. Then because of that, Sabbe Sankhara Anatta. Sabbe Dhamma, also Anatta. Then when you see this very clearly, and when you awaken to the three universal characters, this understanding is connected to your form and mind. That's why this form and mind at the moment of sense experience will understand. This is what they call Yoniso Manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. That's why I say this Yoniso Manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you have means you have. It is a wisdom at the moment of sense experience. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot deal. You cannot learn to cut that feeling. Cannot. This is knowledge trying to reason through logic. But when the wisdom is there, it's always there. That's why the awakened one, the enlightened one that went through the cessation, they will know what to do. They will know how to respond to any life situation. There is no more delusion. They know clearly what this form of mind is, how you function as a human being, how you operate as a human being. Yeah. Citta niyama, the dependent origination, the dwelling, how you function as a human being through the thought process and your senses. That's why through the four foundations of mindfulness, you come to understand the Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the six external sense bases and mindfulness of the six internal senses. You're fully aware and how they trigger our consciousness, the 18 sense line. Then how you get caught, stir, react. When you understand all this, you will never be deluded anymore. You know these are all not real. Through delusion, your mind moves that way. But when there is understanding, at the moment of sense experience, that feeling becomes pure feeling. It cannot stir, it cannot move. There is no more delusion. There is no more wrong thought. There is no more projection. There is no more fear, worry, and anxiety, envy, and jealousy to condition your mind to react and to stir. This is what the enlightened state is all about. Know what you think. Not just because you sit in meditation, you experience fantastic mind state, then people say, this is one jhana. If you cannot understand who you are, what you are, you cannot relate back to Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot function as a proper living being. Because you don't know what is going on. You are still heedless. You got a lot of theory. You can speak through theory, knowledge. But when it comes to actual happening, you cannot deal. You realize you still have fear. You still have your unhappy moment. But the transformed mind is completely different. The mundane Dhamma is the mundane Dhamma pertaining to mundane condition. They know the form and mind, you have to do a duty. That's why you can still use it. And you will be very clear about it. You will not be deceived by it. But when you have the ultimate supramundane understanding, the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, then you will come to know these are all not real. That's why you will not grasp, you will not cling, you will not hold. The form and mind will know. The form and mind that is connected to this wisdom will not be deceived, deluded by the phenomenal world. It will understand all this very clearly. And it will know how to use them beautifully to live life. And this is what meditation is all about. Okay? Yeah. Can I understand? Tonight one, I don't know why all these things come out. I'm not supposed to teach you this thing until after the retreat. But maybe you got condition. Now the consciousness have moved. Many of them can understand this. If the Tuesday class people listen to this, they will understand. Many of them have developed the understanding. You look at PG, you don't think she's like before. No? She's very different now. Where she used to discuss a lot of things with me. He used to send me last time, Thursday class or Thursday. And he used to talk to me, ask me a lot of questions. That's how you learn. Because that time I can see she's very sincere. She really, really determined to change, to transform her life. I saw Song also, very serious. That's why you see the sharing is very different now than even Adeline. He just came not long. I think coming to a year. March is 1 year. She came to the last year retreat. This year's retreat, sorry. Sian is right. We are still in 2017. So this March will be 1 year. And she, after going through the retreat, the heart sutta, or the condition, she becomes so different. No? She starts to understand, no? All of a sudden. Then she starts to see the importance of all this training, this understanding, and this cultivation. That's why she has been attending the Tuesday class almost non-stop, unless she is overseas. She is there almost every Tuesday. Whenever we have the class, then she is so determined. Then that day at the Sunday class, she even asked a very good question. She wants to know how the daily mindfulness can be stabilized. And that sharing, I took the whole 1 hour plus to share, which was very good. I went into it much, much deeper than early on. I even started from the very beginning, the condition behind. Then only I explain how the daily mindfulness can be developed and cultivated. So they are all there. So as the Kayanamita force progress, transform, the condition will arise for more and more Dhamma to unfold. Then I got a very strong feeling since the beginning of the year that this retreat, a lot of you are going to benefit and transform. And this time it will be different. Although the what they call the program, everything may look quite similar, but the emphasis is to develop the stability of daily mindfulness, to really do it, so that you get it right and you develop the ability to carry this out into your daily religious routine. And throughout the day, you can do this and develop this heedfulness. Not long, you will become very different. Some of you at the retreat will transform itself. Your thing has moved and it has become very potent. A lot of things are happening, but human mind doesn't understand. Because the sign is very clear. Otherwise, all this teaching cannot come out. Especially the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. After that book come out, I realized a lot of cultivators become very serious. Very, very serious. Because it's the window, like Brother Song came to know. If you miss this window, like I said, it is going to be a long, long, long time before you can have another or this window of opportunity. Then the next window, maybe you may not have such parami to meet up with the true Dhamma. It depends on what you do. When the sasana is gone, you entangle yourself and you forgot about all this. Then through your karmic, you got a lot of karmic obstruction. Then you come again another window. You don't stand a chance. But if you determine to have this understanding, make aspiration, and plant the Bodhi seed, or Bodhi mind firmly, then from there, determine through faith, sincerity, yeah, and perseverance to plant all the bodhisattva vow, to renew all these vow until they become a part of you, very clear. Then you will stand a chance. Because if this life, with this condition, you cannot understand this thoroughly, deeply with the faith and determine, with very strong determination and faith, to have this vow, this aspiration, this right view planted. In future life, when you come, when the sasana is gone, like Brother Song sharing last Tuesday, you don't stand a chance at all. He used the Mandarin word. Even now, he said, with the sasana, he said, you look at the world. A lot of healers being. The world is so crazy with so many problems. And this is with the sasana around. And he used the Mandarin word. 如果没有了sasana, 外面的世界是怎样的? You ask yourself. The meaning is, when sasana is gone, what will be the world like? What will be civilization like? So this is a question he already knew. That's why he said, he went through all this. You're going to listen to this sharing, very good. He almost gets stuck for 15 years because of karmic obstruction. Then later on, she got lost. He got lost for 5 years. Then somehow, the good parami and the condition inside, deep inside, tell him, you have to go back. You have to see Brother Teo. Then he decided to come back. Then when he decided to come back, the condition become different. Yeah, he keep on talking to me. You listen to the sharing. I keep on telling him, this is all from the thought. Forget about it. At first he cannot understand. You say, I'm so serious, I'm so sincere, full of faith. I come and ask you, you keep on telling me not to think about it. These are all from the thought. Forget about it. Then what am I supposed to do? Then later on, she like wake up, you know. Yeah, I have been listening, asking all these questions, reading, contemplating, reflecting, but I never put it into practice. He realized that big mistake. He never asked for forgiveness. He never do the repentance. He never cultivate according to what I say. That's why later on when he did that, he said, within 6 months, he went to Ajahn Anand there, Rayong. That was how the condition happened. He said when he determined to do that, for 6 months, he just followed my instruction. And I say daily religious routine, mindfulness. He got to wash his clothing on. You know how long he spent washing his clothing or not? Not using washing machine, no. He said he used his hand, you know, on the wooden thing or what. He wash, really wash. He did this move on, no. Forward, backward, for half an hour a day. Until the mindfulness come. That is what he did. Of course, some can do bowing. Some can determine to be mindful. You must have your religious routine so that throughout the day you cultivate mindfulness. Initially start with your home activity, like I answer Adeline, then after that move up to your outside activity, driving, office, and interaction with people. Then your whole of daily life. And this is what heedfulness is all about. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. You cannot have this stability or daily mindfulness. You don't stand a chance, really. You don't stand a chance. Okay. Another 4 minutes. Any other question? Or anybody want to add anything? All this recorded, don't worry. Don't have to remember anything. Just listen. And it will help you. If you listen, develop the understanding and the determination, then this retreat, it will bear fruit. Then you know what to do, what to look for when you are in the meditative state. You just silent and let the awareness arise, the condition where you don't understand. You understand when your mind is truly silent, aware, mindful, without thought, it will develop its own understanding. You will insight in the phenomenon. You will understand. Because when you are mindful and silent, you will see all this happening. That's why in the instruction for meditation, I always tell you all, when you hit paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, when your mind doesn't move anymore, when it's completely quiet, still, silent everything, until it develops the more refined mindfulness, the higher mindfulness, then you will become very sensitive. You will be mindful of the subtle breathing, the very, very subtle movement, everything. That is the mind you need. And that is the one you need to carry over to the daily life. And when you hit paucity, you will understand, you will see all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. All this one, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. You will see them all. Then the Paticca-samuppada, upon contact, not only feeling arise. Ignorant contact, different thing arise. Oh, 10:30 already. Okay, I will sum it up. Ignorant contact, different thing will arise. But when the contact is just pure contact, you will come to realize that feeling cannot run. Feeling can remain as pure feeling, that there is no more craving, desire to be otherwise. You have the ability to understand things, accepting as they are. That's why I say when you meditate, assume you are a dead person. Dead person cannot do anything in there. Got itchiness also cannot scratch in there. Dead person got no consciousness in there. That's why you will be quiet and still, like you are dead. So this tactile consciousness, they will stir you to react on. Sometimes itchiness, sometimes numbness, sometimes pain, then sometimes for whatever reason, something will happen. Then you have to tell yourself, I need to maintain awareness because I am dead. I just want to be aware. Then, after a while, you realize the itchiness, everything, they will fade away. And then you come to realize you don't have to scratch, you don't have to do anything. You just relax, silent, and everything will arise and cease. Then you start to understand anything. These are all conditions arising, dependent originating. There is no being inside there. And everything is accordance with the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. So all this, that form my mind that go through this type of stability of mindfulness, awareness, and heedfulness cultivation, will develop all the understanding. Then you will see very clearly the three evil roots, the five mental faculties, the seven factors of enlightenment, the five spiritual faculty or mental hindrance. All this, you will see them. Then later on, you will come to know that all these mental hindrance can never arise anymore, no more. It's all through wisdom, understanding, the mind that is heedful, aware, nothing else. Okay, we better end. So shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we shall do the usual sharing of merit, transfer of merits. Then you can make your aspiration. Okay, first of all, we will share merits with the devas. Akasata Chirbumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Animo Ditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Animo Dantu Sabha Sampati Siddhya Idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tidang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
express our heartfelt thanks and gratitude to the dear sister for coming so far to share the Gokhan Dhamma with us by saying Sadhu Sita. Sadhu to Brother Jinsa for getting gratitude and assist you.
So we end the year 2017 beautifully, huh? So it develops the condition for you all to really determine your new year resolution. there are many conditions. This brother Chia started the clock. So you go back and do your own clock. Yeah, correct. Knowledge will lead to wisdom, but you must understand what is knowledge. When you understand what is knowledge, you will not be trapped in knowledge. Like Krishnamurti said, when you understand the limitation of thought, the narrowness of thought, and the finiteness of thought, you will not use thought to develop wisdom. Your thought can never give wisdom, because wisdom is beyond thought. It's an understanding, it's an awakening. So you have to understand. Yeah, definitely. Oh, you went back and read also. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. You came for Tuesday class, isn't it? Oh, you didn't come. You should go and listen to the talk. Very nice. Yeah, Western philosophy. Oh, you ask Suyan. Or ask Jinhao. Jinhao also know. Your phone. Pass your phone to Jinhao. He will teach you how to open.
Can I offer it?